The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, June the 4th, and we are rolling right along with our All 32 series. We're ripping through the NFC and AFC East teams. Today is day three, two teams per day, Tuesday through Friday until the end of June. It's almost like this podcast, it's the off season, and Debo came up with a plan to do more work for some reason, but that's because we care. We want to bring you content. So we're banging out these podcasts. They've been great discussions so far. This one is going to be awesome as well. We're going to talk about the Redskins. JP Finley, my buddy up in, I guess you're not up in DC per se. You're up in Bethesda at JP Finley, NBCS on Twitter, insider for the Redskins, host the Redskins Talk podcast. What's going on, dude?
Will, thanks for having me on, man. Hope everybody out there is, safe and sound, man. These are wild times for everybody all over the country.
I feel like for whatever reason, maybe it's because it's like June and all these teams we talked about, the AFC East and the NFC East are really fascinating to me. Like even the Giants are like interesting because can Dave Gettleman survive? Is Daniel Jones any good? I mean, Washington is an extremely intriguing team because for the first time since the last time Joe Gibbs, I mean, it's just the first time since 2012. Like, not that you have hope for the Redskins to be great this year or anything, but, I mean, Ron Rivera's in town, and this is an entirely different regime. All right, I'll ask you this, because you got to start with the quarterback. I guess, like, what do you think the plan is for this team at quarterback? Because I thought there was a viable case to take Tua at number two. I understand taking Chase Young and seeing what you have in Dwayne Haskins. What do you think they think about the quarterback situation, both short and long term?
I mean, you're right. Everything does start with Ron because it's an entirely different feel.
I mean, he showed up fired, and this is his prerogative, and they needed to do it. They needed to clean house. All due respect to the people who lost their jobs, but like he changed up the business, like he changed up everything on the football side, like the training staff, all that. Like he brings in Ryan Vermilion from Carolina. Like it's a wholesale change.
Well, and I mean, not to even go further back, but the firing of Bruce Allen in Washington sports is the biggest story since the Nats won the World Series. I mean, getting rid of that dude is a huge, 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 huge deal for Redskins fans. So go from that to Ron, who is not a sexy hire, but it's a good hire. And I think his foundation and culture and everything is something that these fans are dying for and the organization desperately needs. And then, so all of that is 10 out of 10. Everybody's applauding. Then you get to Dwayne, and you had the kind of conversation, certainly that was going on in Indy at the combine, and it lessened as coronavirus took hold of everything, and Tua wasn't, you know, doing his barnstorming tour across the country and all. If Tua got to travel around and take all his official visits and all the trade rumors and all that stuff, that would have changed things. But when everything got shut down, the Skins were always drafting Chase Young, but they kind of stopped the facade of anything else and just leaned into Dwayne's our guy, Chase Young's our guy. We're excited for 2020. If Dwayne's a stock, I would buy some of it right now. I think he has tremendous talent, And he showed real improvement late in the year. And if you just look at his season numbers, they're bad.
Yeah.
But a lot of that, his first two appearances were not in starts. He came in off the bench after Case Keenum got hurt against the Giants in week 3 or 4. And he was god awful. He was terrible. So,
yeah, it was week 4. And they were already down big. And like his first throw was a big six, maybe?
No. Once they got in the second half, it fell apart on him.
Right.
What's interesting is they were down and Keenum was playing terribly. And Dwayne led them on a pretty good drive, and they had first and goal at the 3. He missed a fade. Gruden always loved the fade. Then he missed what could have been a touchdown throw to Vernon Davis on an out route right at the corner of the end zone. And so they only got a field goal, and then things just fell apart from there. The second half was awful. So he was awful, and no reason to sugarcoat that. Then after he got a start, his next two starts were bad but okay. They were, I'm not even going to say promising, but they weren't awful. And then his last two starts were good. That, like, you don't have to pretend. Just look at the numbers. I was at each of them. He played very well. He started to show the accuracy he had at Ohio State.
He was 31 of 43, which is 72.1% completions, 394 passing yards over 2 games, 4 touchdowns, no picks, 131.3 rating. Like, that's just right. Good.
Now, he got hurt going into halftime of week 16 against the Giants. So
that's right.
Those numbers are over the last 6 quarters, and that's against the Eagles and the Giants, which if you're going to play in D.C., you got to be able to beat NFC East teams.
And two terrible secondaries, too, which is, I'm not dogging the performance, but you want to like show up and show out against those two teams is very important, especially late in that first year.
Yeah. And so take all of that. I don't know that you follow him on social media or anything. He has lost a ton of weight. He's transformed his body like any second year player should. He had some baby fat to him. He was a little doughy coming out of college last year. He looks incredibly different. I had him on my podcast. The way he sounds is dramatically different. Last year, whenever he was doing media, none of it went right. He either sounded sheepish or super cocky, and I don't think either of those are who he really is. I just think he was in this super awkward trying to be an NFL quarterback rather than just be himself and allow that to be the NFL quarterback. He sounds much more at peace with himself and his situation. And I think a lot of that is, 2019 Redskins were a complete, complete disaster. Gruden gets fired
Gruden, 5. And then Bill Callahan's trying to like melting the clock as fast as he set the record for most like sub-4-hour games in an NFL season in the last 20 years.
It was very obvious that Jay didn't want to draft Dwayne. Yeah. Jay wanted to play Colt. Colt got hurt. Jay was playing Case. They had to keep Dwayne up. Dwayne didn't deserve. It wasn't fair to anybody for him to be on the field early on. He wasn't really getting coached. Some of that's on Dwayne too, because there are plenty of young quarterbacks that will take advantage of every opportunity they get. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this at Panthers practice or whatever, but some quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks, will kind of lean in on the huddle of the starters so they can hear how the play gets called, how players react, and then they kind of lean back out. Like during training camp, when Dwayne wasn't on offense, he was like off to the side. I'm not going to question if he was paying attention or not, but he didn't look engaged.
Maybe, the thing is too, like Case Keenum and Colt McCoy are two guys who will, I think, embrace a younger, like they're not going to like push you away like Flacco did to Lamar Jackson or whatever it was. And so like he could have leaned in, but I also think he basically had 1 year starting it. I mean, he had monster numbers at Ohio State, but like he's so inexperienced. He just might not have known. And then if you got a head coach, I like Jay Gruden. I think he's a better head coach than people give credit for. But like if he wasn't invested in Dwayne Haskins, he's not going to be giving him the little, hey man, like go do this. You need to be going to do this. Totally. He's trying to save his job.
Totally. It was an awful situation all around, and you kind of figured that out early on. And then they got, the game. I wonder how different everything would have been. So week one, 2019 in Philly, the Skins have a 2-touchdown lead at halftime.
And Carson Wentz.
Keenum went deep to Terry McLaurin. Right. But like the Skins still, I think there was like a fluky pick six in like the last 30 seconds or something, so that score looks a little bigger than it actually was. But if the Skins could have just held on, they had a drive in the second half where they tied it up. If they could have held on and won that game, you know, you can always play those what ifs in sports. But so Dwayne seems in a better place. I think he is obviously the more talented quarterback than Kyle Allen. What, sure. You know, one guy's 15th overall pick, one guy threw 50 touchdowns at Ohio State. Kyle Allen bounced around a few colleges, undrafted guy. All of that said, if Dwayne struggles, I don't think there'll be much hesitation to go to Kyle Allen. You know, Scott Turner knows and likes Kyle Allen.
He straight up likes Kyle Allen. Like should be no just like debating that. He does. He likes him.
Coordinators like guys that are going to run their offense, and yep. He knows Kyle Allen is going to run his offense. But to me, I still think Dwayne gets a pretty long leash. I think Dwayne would have to really struggle for the Redskins' bye week is in the middle of the year. I think you'd have to struggle the whole start of the year, and then maybe coming out of the bye, something would have to happen. And I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening to the point where he's getting benched. I really don't, because I think it's kind of a bit of a positive catch 22 for the Redskins by letting Dwayne play 2020. If you look how they approached free agency, they didn't spend much. They went after Amari Cooper, couldn't get him. They didn't chase bad money, right? Like they didn't just go throw a ton of cash at Robbie Anderson. They wanted their guy, didn't get him, kind of kept it moving. So in turn, Ron is comfortable that he has years to do this rebuild the right way. They're focused on making the defense much better right away. So play Dwayne all year. And if he shows you enough, then you know you've got your guy going forward. And then you can address receiver next year, tight end next year, left tackle, depending how things shake out. There's still plenty of holes. And if he shows you definitively you don't have enough, then you're probably drafting top five again, and then you get your quarterback. So I kind of think for a team that doesn't have – I think playoff aspirations are pretty silly for this team in 2020. So I think it's actually – they're in an oddly good place for a long-term rebuild as long as ownership is on – is it's easy to say you're on board in – April, May, June with that.
But or in year zero too. Like it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think he needs help from, you know, other pieces. And we'll take a quick break and then we'll talk about those other pieces after the break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right, so the other thing about Haskins, too, is that, like, you know, his leading receiver is Terry McLaurin, a rookie. His second leading receiver is Chris Thompson. Then Steven Sims, Kelvin Harmon, another rookie. Love him at NC State. This is not exactly the 27 Yankees of wide receivers we're talking about here.
Right, sure. There's a reason they went after Amari Cooper and offered him north of $110 million. They McLaurin is the real deal. I think he can be a really special player. Outside of that, they don't have anybody that defensive coordinators at this point are going to worry about. And you mentioned Chris Thompson. I mean, he's gone. He's in Jacksonville now with Jay Gruden.
Yep.
That said, they have some options. The kid they drafted, Antonio Gibson, out of Memphis, was a complete home run hitter in college. He just had the one season, but it was really impressive. You like Kelvin Harmon. I think he can be a really good possession receiver for you. He doesn't have the speed to make chunk plays in the NFL. This kid, Steve Sims, though, he was an undrafted rookie last year out of Kansas. Really small, really shifty, really fast. He can help. Another guy they drafted out of Liberty, so I think there could be a pretty serious transition, is Antonio Gandy-Golden.
Yeah.
But Santana Moss, who, you know, made a living going deep and getting open in the NFL. He does a lot of work with us on the TV side. And we had to do these rehearsals for our draft shows over and over and over for, you know, trying to get the technical side of this done during a pandemic was hard to do. So we understand why we had to do these. But Santana, every time we talked about wideouts, talked about Antonio Gandy-Golden, I guess because the high school he went to in Miami is still very important to him. And the kid that played quarterback there was now the quarterback at Liberty. So he watched a ton of Liberty tape. And he's like, I'm telling you, this kid can play. So I believe Santana in situations like that because he was saying it before the Redskins drafted him. That said, there's still going to be an adjustment period from Liberty to the NFC East. Running back, if Darius Geis can stay healthy, the way Scott Turner wants to run his offense with a ton of passes going to the backs, Geis could be a beast for them. I don't know if Darius Geis can stay healthy at this point. I mean, he's been in the league 2 years. He's started one game. I think he's played in five. So the numbers are, you know, the track record isn't there. Adrian Peterson's going to give him 800 rush yards, I would guess. No, there's nothing at tight end unless you think Thaddeus Moss can get the foot injury right. And I don't know. He went undrafted. Usually that happens for a reason. So it's hard to look at the Redskins offense and be particularly bullish about any aspects of it. The only thing I say to the Dwayne doesn't have any weapons, how can he get anything done camp, is that good quarterbacks make players better. Yeah. And I'm not comparing Haskins to Russell Wilson at all, but if you look at what Russ Wilson does year after year after year without real elite weapons up there, it's pretty remarkable.
Defensively, I actually think this is an interesting team because one of the things, like, and I'm not, like, again, I think Jay Gruden's a good coach, but he's a good offensive coach. And yeah. I don't hate what the Redskins were doing on defense previously, but I firmly believe that Ron Rivera is a really good defensive coach. And I think being in a first, like, I tend to think that, you know, when you get fired and you go to a new job, like, he'd been in Carolina forever, man. Like, I think that this sort of change can invigorate a person and can cause them to sort of be motivated to come in and reassess how they do things. And I expect Ron Rivera to put together with, you know, Chase Young in there now, Ryan Kerrigan, I mean, Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Montez Sweat. That's a ton of first round talent on the defensive line. Matt Ioannidis, I didn't even mention, he's not a first rounder, but a great player. I just think there's enough here where he can really create something. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. I think the Skins will show improvement this year, and I think it'll be defensively driven. Jay, I think, is a good head coach, but Jay was always nervous to have a good defensive coordinator because I think the Bruce Allen sword of Damocles held over him all the time. Wow. And he never knew, hey, if I bring Wade Phillips in, are they going to axe me and let Wade take over the job? And I think that was an issue. If you look at his coordinators, he kept Jim Haslett when he first got the job. Haslett was terrible. Then he hired Joe Barry, who Joe B is a great dude, but his track record as a D coordinator is not good. He's a good linebackers coach. Players like him, but the track record, the stats are what the stats are. Then they finally get rid of Joe B, and all right, you got to hire somebody legitimate, and he promotes in-house again and hires Greg Minuski. So all of that coordinators were awful. So what does Ron Rivera do? He makes a point in his opening press conference of saying, one thing I realized that I did wrong in Charlotte was that I never had another former head coach on my staff. I wanted to do that right away. And he got Jack Del Rio, who I'd argue was the best available D coordinator on the street, for lack of a better word. He was working at ESPN. Go look at the numbers of what defenses do.
Jack Del Rio is just a good defensive coordinator.
Totally.
All right. So let me ask you this. What do you think is the, so what's it like? What is a good season for the Redskins? And I'm going to guess, okay. And this has been a theme for the first like six podcasts that we've done on these various teams, but I'm going to guess like the win total doesn't even really matter. And it's probably Dwayne Haskins plays well. And they know they have or they get an answer on Dwayne Haskins one way or the other. Is that probably it?
Yeah. So my benchmark, what is a good season, is you figure out the answer on Dwayne one way or the other. I think the goal should be doubling your win total. So you go from 3-13 to 6-10. 6-10 is still bad, but that's significant improvement. Defensively, they ranked 27th in team defense. I think you're looking to get into the top half of the league. So you want to be 15 or above. And I think a competitive 6-10 would be a real step.
JP Finley, always a pleasure, buddy. Let's hang soon. Hopefully this business going on will get done and we get everybody to get back to being safe, and we'll grab a beer or a bourbon sometime.
I'd love to do that, man. Stay safe. Thank you very much for having me.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.